Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
So we were lacking a bit of football action, so myself, Gaz and Trevor have decided to get back together to start a series of summer specials. Chaps, how are we doing? We missing the football so far before we introduce our special guest tonight?
Missing it.
No, it's been going on. National League didn't finish till early June, did it? So I've had plenty of stuff to write about.
You have had plenty of stuff to write about. You know, you're completely continuing the blog at footballwriting.co.uk, the sponsor of the Premier Non-League podcast. But without further ado, we are honoured and privileged to be joined by the chairman and manager of Dorking Wanderers. And everyone's got to know this gentleman, Mark White. Welcome to the Premier Non-League podcast. Summer special. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Cleaner, kit man, set piece, penalty taker, water carrier, you name it. I've
fashion
done it.
Icon as well, because you do sort of look quite dapper on those sidelines as well, I should say.
I don't. I've never owned a bit of Dorking Wanderers kit. I'm the only person with no Dorking Wanderers kit.
No, you're mad. Was it Capo, I think it is, you've been modelling in last season, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so no, but you look very trendy. But Mark, first of all, how's your summer been? I can imagine it's been very busy before we press on with things with obviously the promotion into the National League by Dorking Wanderers, a well-deserved promotion. Have you had time to chill? Have you been away on holiday? Have you put your feet up at all?
Yeah, not really. I've never enjoyed a success less than I did this one, definitely, because although it's the biggest success we've ever had, the season was already the longest in history. Then we had the extra 2 weeks. So it was like 11 months or something of a season. Everybody couldn't wait to finish to a degree. I then couldn't do any sort of player contracts and stuff like that because we didn't know what league we're going to be in. And I don't know, I just had this sixth sense would go up. So normally I'd hedge my bets and thought, right, I'll just do some new deals. But I just thought, you know what, I don't know what league we'll be in. So then the season finished, I had to have about, 20 conversations from players that then think they're all worth more money than what they are. Because I had to try and remind them that I'm the reason they've been successful, not them. So that took my time up, right? So there's a few boys that moved on, and then obviously myself and I've got a co-director, Chris, we do a lot of day-to-day work. We then had to organise an awful lot of stuff behind the scenes. We've now got ground grading projects going on. And so there ain't no break, James. That's the bottom line. Not really, mate.
I can't picture you sitting on a sunbed with a cigar and like your mobile phone in one hand and a sort of whiskey in the other hand trying to get some peace. But you know it's not going to happen, no?
Yeah, basically that. I'm definitely due a break. I'm due a break. So it's a... But you know what, mate? It comes with a sort of territory. With the sort of acceleration of the club, it just means we don't really get a lot of time to sit still, really.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. So let's just take it right back to the beginning, Mark. So you were famously a Wimbledon fan, weren't you? The original Wimbledon of London. Is that where you're from? Are you from South West London originally, or did you grow up supporting Wimbledon?
These parts, but it was just like my granddad was a Fulham fan. So he's got a Fulham an awful lot when I was a really small kid. And then Wimbledon just seemed to be like really accessible. Plus, randomly, a few of my mates played from back in the day. And so Plough Lane was sort of like to Haydens Road from Dorking on a train. I could sort of do it in something stupid, like 28 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I used to just fly up and down to there, love the club, love the whole, fairy tale, us be them attitude and storyline of it all, the underdog, and used to go all over and watch them. So I used to love it. And it's quite mad for me now, because when I go to Wimbledon now, if ever I go up there, I see all the boys that used to be like teenagers like me and all their kids, and in some cases grandkids. You know, it's weird how it's evolved. But no, I parted company with it all when it went belly up, to be fair.
Yeah. So you're not a fan of Franchise FC, obviously, that went up the road to Milton Keynes. And this was sort of the start of the beginning of Dorking Wanderers. So how did you feel as a fan? Because I've never gone through that. Trev, Gaz, I mean, Trev, you kind of went through it with a bit Maidstone in the old day, didn't you, when they sort of dissolved. But I've never been a fan of a club that have completely sort of almost felt like they've stabbed the fans in the back, or, you know, they've gone away. What was that feeling and, you know, the emotion behind it, which has obviously trajected you towards setting up Dorking?
It's unbelievable, you know, like at the time, I was only young, so it's weird. It's hard to remember how I resonated with it, but it was a case of like just somebody, you know, to a degree, just an act of God, really, just like someone passing away to a degree. Like, do you know what I mean? I can't really put it any differently. You know, when you follow a football team home and away, and then someone just says, well, that's all over then. At the time, I remember people saying afterwards, it'll never happen again. And I think the best thing that probably come out of it was the fact that it could never happen again to anybody else. The FA, notorious for being bad, were bad in that situation. And thankfully, it's not happened to anyone else since, really. But of course, we know that FA have got bullet holes galore in them and still make constantly bad decisions the whole time.
So the day that you guys got together and decided to form Dorking Wanderers, how did it come about? Let's just say, so we know that sort of your disillusions with Milton Keynes and all that lot. So how did it come about? Because it's not, well, it sounds like it's something you sort of came up with a few mates down the pub, but like, you know, it's a long-term project of yours and you've seen the fruits of your labour over the past 20 odd years. How did that all come about? Like
James, honestly, it really was. We mentioned it in the pub, throwaway stuff. Should we just start get a muck about team on a Saturday? Then my friend had a kitchen showroom. We went round there working in it one afternoon. And we just said, listen, we're going to do that team then. We printed off a load of forms, filled them in. And it was in a basement, this place. And he was just filling in the rest of the form. And as I got to the top of the stairs of this basement on the way home, he shouted out, what are we going to call it? And I said, well, Dorking something. And he went, well, what? I goes, I don't know. He goes, well, Wanderers? I went, yeah, all right. And that was it.
Just like that?
Just like that, mate. And, you know, it was like pay a fiver, get there last to not put the nets up, 50 quid for a council pitch, down the pub beforehand, down the pub on a Friday night as well, before the game. Just standard stuff, really. Crawley and District Division 5. Rough and ready, that was.
I can imagine, Mark.
Are any of those guys still involved? Have any of them sort of seen it through like yourself to where you are?
Yeah. Not from day one, but all those people from day one still watch the whole time. They're in the bar.
Yeah.
They're not day-to-day involved, but there's people that have been there a good 17, 18 years involved in different guises. But yeah, a lot of the old players, old originals, their kids now, all got the shirts on and all that stuff, and they're up in the bar, mate.
That's good. It's like, you're almost like, when you set something up like that and you've the success you've had, I wonder if they have a little bit of regret about not hanging around and sort of going into coaching and doing that side of it.
Maybe. I kind of think with what I've always said about the club is that it's kind of not my club. It can't be. It's like, you know, Mark White's not going to be around forever. And I've always said that the beauty of our club having sort of one owner today is anyone involved is kind of their club, and they can get out of it what they want. They can dip in when they want. People have go through periods of their life, don't they? They might have families or personal issues or priorities, and people have come and gone over the years, but they always know they can come back. I mean,
yeah,
we see so many of our old players and committee and volunteers and at games. It's huge. It's quite a big thing in Dorking, to be fair.
Okay. Do you think you... Well, I say in any of our lifetimes, of us sitting here, that we would see something like that happen again, 20 years, and you get promotion all the way through to sit one step off of the Football League.
You know what, mate? That's like one of the best questions I've ever had. I really hope so. Do you know what I mean? Because what I've got from it, but forget me, what I've seen other people get from it socially, being engaged in the project over the years has been phenomenal, you know. And I only wish that more sort of people were more patient, more people were sort of like, you know, I guess more loyal, if you like. And because obviously what I've got from it's been amazing, but more importantly, what I've seen it do for others has been incredible. I mean, it started off with us with, you know, a few boys. It's ended up in hundreds and literally thousands of local people, businesses, charities we work with. I mean, the project itself has been phenomenal and people have really got behind it. I think what I would say is, mate, is that in England, if you like, it's quite difficult to achieve because you don't get much of a head start with local authorities granting land to sporting projects and stuff like that. So you are kind of out there a lot on your own. We're really fortunate where we are. We've kind of got one over the local authority. They've really bought into what we've done and they really get it now. But you see other examples of, I could name quite a few, where strangely they don't see the benefit in gifting, if you like, in the right way, a piece of land to a local football club to enable them to do good work in the local community and engage people. So short answer is, I bloody hope it really does happen again. I really hope it happens again, but it is very difficult to do.
I think as well, the only thing I can think of actually to come close to it was when Maidstone did reform. They started down playing Parks football, but they didn't have quite so many promotions because I think they strolled through the first division, so they actually jumped them up two divisions just to, you know, stop everyone getting thumped every week. But I can't think of any other club that's had a rise exactly like you guys have.
No,
we've tried to look into it purely for vanity purposes, really. And no, I'm joking.
Don't blame you, mate. What an achievement, though. Amazing.
Yeah, no, we've got we looked at like Fleetwood and AFC, obviously. Wimbledon, and
yeah,
but obviously because we go back to a Division Five, it's like it's a lot of progress, but it has been phenomenal, and yeah, couldn't have dreamt it. Just kept going, really. To be fair,
well, I was going to say, like, you know, obviously you say Division Five of Crawley and District. What were your honest goals when you set it up? Did you really genuinely have a? You say you just kept going, but did you in the back of your mind have some sort of, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if we got up to, like, say for example, the Isthmian or something like that? Let alone the National League. Was there ever a point, or when did it come to a point where you think, actually, boys, we might be able to do something here?
I just think initially it was just enjoying it. And then kind of we went 5-4-3. We went to the West Sussex League. I mean, those leagues, let me tell you, these leagues are run by proper people. You know, no disrespect to the people that run these leagues now that we're in, but they couldn't lace the boots of the volunteers and people that work hard in those leagues.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of time. I love to give back as much as I can to those divisions. We played in the West Sussex League, you know, people giving up all their time. At the time, they had five divisions and so many teams on a Saturday that a lot of those divisions would be north and south. And in some of them, they'd even have a north, south and central, all Sussex. Huge amount of teams. But we got to about two and thought, oh, you know, intermediate football, we've got to put a rope around the pitch. I think Division One of that West Sussex. And we bowled a rope so the bloke could put his sign up around the pitch to sponsor. And yeah, kind of when we got near county football, it's kind of like, it's almost weird. It's almost like, I hope it's like boy.
No. It's fascinating.
I've got all the deep non-league talks here. I know I talk a lot of shit half the time.
No, we like it. We like it.
But there was a guy called Peter Bentley that was the man that was Mr. Sussex County. This guy was phenomenal. Gave his whole life. He passed away, Peter. What a great man. Gave his whole life for football. These are the type of people that were involved at that level. Anyway, Steve Nilgrove was his predecessor, Nelly, and he came down to our ground and he sort of said, you know what? He goes, I've just got a funny feeling you could be the next Langley Sports, right? And he compared us with Langley Sports Eastbourne Borough, and we were sort of in the Premier League, the West Sussex, and he'd come down to sort of say, look, if you get promoted, you'll have to do this, have to do that. And it's those sliding doors things, you know, someone gives you that little bit of a, not hope, if you like, but just a bit of optimism. And at that point, we started thinking about it a bit more. The first programme, you know, and it was like, blimey, we got a programme. And, you know, 80 people turned up to the first game or something, you know. Then that dwindled down to 40. So it was just kind of like, it was a little bit, the best way of wording it is, the more of a taste we got for the bigger life with it, the more appetite we got as we went along. But I've always found the winning bit easier as we've gone higher, to be honest. We haven't hung about in these divisions. Like we took a lot longer to get out of the county league than we have these leagues.
So, Mark, 12 promotions in 21 seasons led you to the National League.
Do you know what it is? So, obviously, phenomenal record, but
there's been a lot of things that have gone our way over the years. We won a ground grade and appeal. We were the first ever club to win a ground grade and appeal with the FA ever in FA history. We
was that at West Humble?
Yeah. We had been promoted from the Sussex County when Little Hampton couldn't get promoted.
Okay.
We got promoted. So I'm always honest about things. And there's been a little bit of the wanderer's gods, as I call them. We've been out a few times. And but the bit that no one knows or remembers, because I obviously we don't, being a PR machine, we don't mention it, but you will now, is that we actually got reprieved from relegation in County One in our first season. Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah, there you go. See, so without that, maybe we wouldn't be here today. Who knows?
And what's the background to that reprieve then, for those that don't know?
Do you know what? It was just standard stuff, really, number of teams and things like that. But, yeah, ironically, the only time that I took a small break from managing, I just want to stipulate that now.
Yeah.
But no, sometimes, though, you need a little bit of luck every now and then just to help keep that bounce going as well.
Yeah, I mean, completely. I mean, people get luck in different forms. Some clubs get windfalls of money and, you know, or whatever. But yeah, we had a few little things over the years that have gone our way. And obviously with COVID, like, we had things that didn't go our way when we were doing so well in the league and it got cancelled. So yeah, but it's not all been plain sailing.
No. Well, I was going to talk to you about COVID in a little bit, but just sort of going up the leagues, and you obviously said it, but mentioned West Humble. Did you ever want to modernise West Humble and stay there? Or like, how did the opportunity come around? I know Dorking FC went out of business in 2017, I think it was. And that was Meadowbank was their ground originally. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Again, this is probably the biggest act of God ever, really, for the Wanderers, yeah. This one. Because West Humble was, it's the bottom of Box Hill.
Yeah.
Designated AONB, Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty. Planning permissions were extremely difficult to get, often temporary. We had lots of interest from residents who lived the opposite side of the railway track. I presented several times to parish councils. Trying to get the floodlights down there was a nightmare, and we just took it as far as we could. And then parallel to that, the Dorking Football Club site was owned and still is by Mar Valley Council, and the previous tenants had run it to rack and ruin. And they'd locked the gates and basically kicked them out. And it just all happened at the right time. And then before you know it, we've managed to kind of get in there, really. Initially, we was going to go in there with a sharing with a newly formed Dorking side. And then the people at Dorking kind of very, very maturely sort of said, look, do you know what? Like, you guys, these guys had three of them trying to organise it all. And we had a huge committee, and they kind of said, do you know what? We kind of should get together here, really. Do you know what I mean? This is the best thing for the town. So we kind of went that route.
So you say it was a stroke of luck. Was there ever another sort of area that you were looking at in the Dorking area that you were going to have to modernise and go to?
Yeah, we were looking around. So I had this conversation with, I'm trying to think, it was a club the other day, about how to build your own club, really. I mean, there's clubs out there like Kingstonian. I mean, we all know, because I know you boys are all massive football fans like me. But that whole ground sharing thing is a bit like when someone goes to get the milk, isn't it?
Mm.
They go out to get the milk, and 20 years later, they've not come back yet. Yeah. I think Epsom and Yall are like the longest ground sharers in the UK.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. I mean, I honestly think they might be approaching 30 years. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you look at Kingstonian and
they're on the move clubs again, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, Horsham done well. You know, I was worried about them at one point. They was away for a long time. But you know, the kind of key bit really is every single local authority has designated recreational grounds, and you might often think it's physically a football pitch or a well-kept bit of land, but quite often it's overgrown, it's dog-walking land, but there's a little sign and it just says, you know, Mole Valley District Council, recreational use. There's three or four sites in Dorking that are overgrown, huge sites that that the council have never bothered with, but they can't build on it.
Mm.
And every local authority's got similar. I mean, it's just about earmarking, speaking to them. I'll tell you who it was I spoke to was Reigate Priory.
Okay.
About, you know, how I'd go about, you know, looking for a home. Because obviously things have changed. Obviously, I know I'm deviating a little bit, but...
No, not at all.
Local authorities... Whereas people used to want a grass pitch, the wins for the local authority were quite small. It's more, you know, it's, you know, you might have a football team, bring a few shoppers to the town, but now they can be artificial and used by the entire community. It's a massive win for local authority, but of course, these people don't often know that. So if you get in front of the local members, local politicians, show the project, show how much it's going to engage the community, it's very fundable and it's doable. So, yeah, we had two or three sites lined up, but we didn't need them.
I'm just going to jump in there, Mark. With the plastic pitch bit that you mentioned at the moment, obviously you can't have that in the Football League. If you were still at Meadowbank and you then got to that point, you got to put a grass pitch down, would you have to lose the plastic? Would there be somewhere you could put it? Because I know Bromley have got plans. If they made it up, then Hayes Lane goes back to grass and the plastic actually goes in behind.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a couple of things there. One is you're actually allowed to play in the Football League on a hybrid pitch. Yeah. So, and these pitches have 30 hours of use a week.
Mm.
I mean, how they deem 30 hours is beyond me. I mean, it's like, well, 30 hours of what? Four-year-olds or...
Yeah, it's extremely random, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so there's hybrid pitches can be used. Plus, there's advanced talks with the EFL about artificial being allowed up to League One.
Yeah.
But the favourite here is probably going to be that Tracy Crouch in her report for the government recommended a 3-year kind of deferment period, if you like. So if we get promoted, you get a 3-year grace.
No, I love it. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Because obviously the point was made by Tracy that you could be Sutton United and rip up your pitch and then 1 year later get relegated and put it back down again.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, realistically, would anyone bet against it being used in the future? I think it's more a case of when.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But I think the issue with it is probably the differences in quality, which we recognise. It is very different, and it does make for a bad game of football when it's really poor. But I think it's just a work in progress. It'll happen. From our point of view, we would just have to see what the rules were at that point and go from there.
Yeah, I can't imagine your dream giving up now.
It's not easy. Yeah. Sorry, getting out of this division is not going to be a given.
No, no. But I can imagine your dream is to get out of the division and not back down again, but higher up to EFL. Can you see Meadowbank in itself becoming a Football League ground if it was to happen? Or do you think this might be a case of Mark's going to have to look around the area again for somewhere else?
Meadowbank definitely can be a Football League ground. It's got a little bit of a bigger footprint than people realise. It's got three sides of it. The actual red line, the footprint is pulled in. I think the footprint's probably bigger than Fleetwood and other examples. Like anything, it's just got to be really well designed and really well built. So we've got no concerns with that. I do think the National League, and it does make you laugh, the kind of draconian mindset, because they've not had a three up, three down or whatever for so long. They've ended up with a National League that arguably is stronger than the League Two.
Oh, 100%. We've said it so many times on the podcast, mate. It's like League Three now.
If I'm the EFL, I'm probably thinking, well, actually, if I'm going to be selfish, I'd rather three up. I'll inherit better clubs than what I've got.
Yeah.
But not that, listen, I think personally I'd be going down that regionalisation route anyway. The RZFA doing the sort of what they'd done in 19, whatever it was, 80 something, I think, where they took the conference and the League Two and they just said, right, split it down the middle, regional, less travelling, bigger crowds. That's really what they should do. But instigating change is not easy because often it's got to be voted by member clubs. and I know I'm on a crusade here moaning about the FA, but that's standard with me. Can you believe, unbelievably, they let the clubs vote on the amount of subs?
I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me, mate.
So the Football League, Premier League have all got a certain amount of subs. Step five have agreed to, I think, five subs.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I said, well, I don't understand it. So it's like voting on what's handball. It's like, it's not like it's ineligible. It's like, it's almost like it's part of the game, isn't it? How many players, how many subs? So National League voted against it. Well, they didn't vote against it. They voted for it, but not by the majority that was needed to get it through the AGM. Sorry, just to say that, because it pissed me off.
Don't blame you. So we're going back to what you said about COVID, Mark. Obviously, like a lot of clubs in the non-league system, it caused a lot of angst. Forgetting the virus, we know the virus was bad. People were dying left, right, centre. But what did you honestly think about what happened in those COVID seasons? Obviously, the first season, Dorking were in the playoff zone. Second season, 5 point clear. As we said, we support Worthing, and it was a very similar situation for us. So we sort of lived it through a division below you. What were your honest thoughts about it?
Well, in terms of the Worthings of this world, it was obvious they had a shortage of teams. They should have just had to just shuffle the leagues up. It didn't, because when they restarted again with, in our division, 21 teams, I think, and it just meant less revenue, less games.
Yeah.
So everyone was struggling off the back of COVID, but they've made these bizarre decisions. But again, the problem in football is you've got multiple leagues making decisions. And there's no overarching body, if you like, that actually runs football. The FA, it looks that way outside looking in, but they don't. Leagues do what they want. We was robbed. We was so robbed.
Oh, yeah.
We was told the season would start and finish. We was given funding, about 120 grand for that to happen. We engaged all of our sponsors, sold season tickets, and then clubs then moaned, and it was all the clubs that at that point couldn't really win. So, and then they'd done this bizarre thing of putting to the vote in Jan who wants to carry on. So obviously you could have in advance written the result. You know, the top eight said let's crack on, and everyone else said let's ditch it. It was crazy. They'd done a vote that was illegal. I proved it. And when I proved it, it cost me about 35 grand to prove that the vote they put to clubs was illegal. They mucked up. They messed up. Their lawyer messed up. And but then the FA got around it by finding a loophole in their directory that literally... You know, you get them rules in life where you get to the bottom rule and the rule says we can change any rule. It was like that. And the FA said, yeah, well, we're not actually approving what's happened as a result of the resolutions and what was put to clubs anyway. We're doing it because we've got this rule here and this rule says we can do it. And that was it. So, you know, it's one of the reasons that an independent regulator has been called for in football. It's no secret the FA are not a trusted source of running the national game. Obviously, like anything, great pockets within the FA. I think there's great areas where they work really well, but a lot of discrepancies. And certainly with that governance being under one umbrella, it's very scrappy, very messy. Different leagues voting for different outcomes. Mm-hmm. It was a complete shambles. We were robbed, but we had to just get on with it in the end.
Well, I followed all your Friday updates because obviously I wanted to know what was going on, and obviously texting David Blackmore as well to get some info from him, because obviously being a Barnet fan, we were bottom of the league, so we should have swapped places effectively because Tony tried to do it on the cheap that year, and very much so we got out of jail. But I had a lot of people asking me all the way through, what's going on? Are they playing? Are they not? You know, a lot of Barnet fans are we going to go down or not?
Yeah, something like on the board of directors at that point, something like four of the seven belong to clubs in the bottom six of the National League.
Yeah.
And they put together the vote. It was criminal, but not, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
I've never seen anything like it. And then the best one of all was letting Dover off.
Yeah,
I mean, he couldn't make it up. I mean, I can't think what the fine was they got now.
40,000.
40 grand, and they finished playing. I can't think how long it was. Quite a long way before the end.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. So what they done was they discredited the league. If I was one of those other teams in that league paying out money to carry on playing in front of no crowds, I'd have said, well, if they got a 40 grand fine and 10 points, well, I'll give it another 4 weeks. I'll stop playing and mine might be 20 grand and 5 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got away with murder, but, you know, I think the National League definitely know, but there's a change of the guard. Brian Barwick was the man in charge, and there's been a change of the guard with Jack Pearce and Mark Ives. They're good football people, but they're only as good. I see the wording shape.
I'll bite my tongue, Mark. Because COVID and Jack Pearce don't go in the same sentence well for a Worthing fan.
I get it fully.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I just think it's a shame because what people forget, and I did to be fair, but like I had people like Jason Pryor like make good points like some of these like youngsters and that, they're losing 2-3 years of their career. So they play for Worthing at 19 as a good prospect. And by the time they kick a ball, they're in the same division at 22. And I don't think a lot of thought was put against things other than keeping people happy.
Yeah. Well, you say keeping people happy though, Mark, because we've said it plenty of times on the podcast. Like the thing is, it was a time where we needed something to cheer us up and keep us happy, and that it could have continued this football and everything like that for a lot of people at non-league, where it was so much easier in a big stadium to go and watch, but they snatched it away from you. It's not just that, you know, it's the fans, it's the footballers, as you say, footballers losing 2-3 years out of their career just for stupid like old boys clubs.
It was a real shambles, really. But the problem was from day one is that, the FA struggle with day-to-day decision-making. So when they were thrust into a problem like this, they were just out of their depth. They didn't know where to turn, what to do. They just had no idea. And what they'd done really, Worthing, Dorking, all the people that suffered were a minority. And that's in their heads, like a politician, that suited them because they got less grief. that's the bottom line.
That's it.
So,
yeah, spot on.
Putting it to vote for them,
Like one of our podcasters, Chris, obviously up at the South Shields, obviously they were leading similar to yourself and similar to Worthing. They were doing really well. And then they've missed out on promotion this season by losing in the playoffs. So now they're still in that same division. What will be for the fourth season now. So they're obviously but they're full time as well. So
it's unbelievable. I mean, they spent a lot of money taking on the FA. I think the year before COVID, but like it's just why they didn't level up the leagues. I don't know. Like, you know, you only live once. You know, like everything evolves. What was there to be gained by not saying, right, look, we're going to do a PPG or, you know, something as long as it was meaningful, and then give people that chance. I mean, it's just inconsistency. That's what you get, unfortunately.
Yes. It's Mark, you said famously in the last episodes of last season, we'll get onto a bunch of amateurs very shortly, but you said quite famously you had a premonition that you'd go out via the playoffs. I mean, if you were a betting man, mate, you'd have been even more wealthier than I'm sure you are now. Like, what made you think that? I mean, that was ridiculous. What a great way to say we're going to go up via the playoffs. And a year later, that match we'll get onto anyway, because that was just, you know, yeah. If I had been there, unbelievable. One of our other podcasters, Pete, who's not able to come on tonight, he was there supporting you guys. And, you know, we were following the updates, weren't we, chaps? We were texting each other. But then to see it on Bunch of Amateurs, which we're talking a bit. But what made you think the playoffs? After the season when you were like 5 points clear and then playoffs before, why did you think it was going to be the playoffs?
I just thought that to win a league, you sometimes need a little bit of luck, but you can kind of guarantee, if you've got a half decent side, and you can guarantee really a home playoff game. And I just thought if we get a home playoff game, I just thought we'd win it. That was my mindset all along, in my head all along. I had that. As it goes, we would have won the league, but we had a lot of injuries at the wrong time.
Yeah, all
time. I genuinely think, without any discredit to Maidstone, who I get on really well with, I think we would have gone 10-12 clear. We were flying, and we had, you know, probably three of our best players all injured at the same time. But, it was just one of those things, a bit of experience, maybe I was just manifesting it, I don't know. But what I've got to say is I love the fact that you boys followed that, because it's a bit like me messaging Hinch. It does seem to be quite a good little community amongst some clubs down this way, with the fans. I kind of feel like with football, barring the sort of real old school, rivalries, I kind of feel like football fans have worked out there's enough clubs to dislike rather than the ones on your doorstep.
100%.
I do feel like there's more respect for one another these days. And I was the first on the phone to Hinch, and obviously we spoke a lot with Keeley.
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way, mate. Because you say I'd give you a kiss for letting you have him, because he was absolutely amazing for us, and I think he's the guy that's helped us seal that title win.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading, like, and. We needed a striker badly, and you had David, and I said, look, I'll take David.
You know what? I think me and
did
Trevor
you dangle actually a carrot in front of Hinch going, oh, I have David, you can keep Keeley?
Yeah, that was it. I said, look, the only way you can keep him is if we'll have to take David.
Me and Trevor actually had a game at Lancing, and we saw you there.
Yeah.
It was a wording game.
Yeah, senior
we're captain. We're like, what's Mark doing here? And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, David has signed for Dorking, and we're like, well, that explains that answer then.
Cheeky boy, you.
That was it. Yeah, exactly. We I think Jason had just got injured, and that was that, really. But no, it's good. It's good, the camaraderie now between clubs. And it's, you know, for me personally, I know Barry Hunter really well. And when I watch knowing what I've done with our club and how much work people put in with us, I resonate with it elsewhere. So yeah. I kind of always want the best for people, really.
Well, we've got quite a few times. I think it was one time this season comes to mind. We had a game postponed. I think it was against Thurrock. Oh, no, it was against Bishop Stortford. And a few of the lads came by Meadowbank and came and watched the Dorking game that Saturday. And it's happened a few times. You know, I think we've said it quite a few times that we're lucky to be in the Sussex area, obviously, where Dorking started off their roots as well. And you've got some brilliant, like, football stories going on with Littlehampton, Worthing, Hastings, Dorking, obviously, yourselves. It's just a brilliant sort of area to be in. And I think it's going to become a real hotbed for football.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And I see Gary Elphick the other week, actually, and that's another club that obviously got held back by COVID as well.
Yeah, you say that. So we're going to talk about Bunch of Amateurs, Mark. If anyone that's listening hasn't seen it, I think you're living under a non-league rock, because it's the talking thing in non-league world at the moment, because it's brought an access point to the world of non-league football. You know, they did it with Charlwood, and they're doing it with you guys. And, you know, I know friends of mine, one of them will be listening to this podcast. He's a Charlton fan like me, and he's actually started following Dorking. He lives in South London, but he's travelled down to Meadowbank a few times, travelled to your games at, like, Ebbsfleet, at Welling and stuff like that. And you've really attracted a crowd. So how did that all come about? Like, how did you approach Rich, or did Rich approach you?
Yeah, Rich approached us and just said, I want to maybe do like a little short film or something and get a bit of footage and just, you know, and then it just kind of went from there, to be quite frank. You know, I think Rich was quite impressed with the I think the access, probably, you know, the access to normality. But I've got a big thing where I won't change. And all the time I'm breathing at the club, I won't change the roots of what we do because of where we come from. You know, we always want to offer the best hospitality. Whatever we do, we want to be a nice club, a good club. And that, but that also goes for the changing room. You know, no big time Charlies. No, you know, so I think Richard liked the kind of refreshing part of it all, and the access, really.
Yeah, I mean, I started watching it last season, and it is really, really, really sort of, for me, it's nice to see. But it's nice to see at your level, but also down. So this season, I started watching Holland Sports this season, and that obviously went wrong with sort of Barks and Mike and. But then I quite often see them stood behind you in the dugout. So there's obviously, do you guys get on really well? Did you know each other before this came about, or was it?
No, I didn't. But Barks and Rich are really good mates. They're best mates. And Barks comes to a lot of games, and Barks is going nuts at that famous game. But I just think in a world where people are scared to say or do anything, let's be honest about it, right?
Yeah.
And I just think, you know what? I think the reason it's so popular is because actually people still want to think that there is a real world out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we try to put across the real world and, you know, get it across in the right way. It's not easy.
And I think Rich does that really well in his commentary as well. Like, the way he comes across in the comments,
so sarcastic and dry, isn't he?
Yeah, which for me is like, it's perfect. I mean, I love it. I was watching the final this afternoon. I said before I wanted to watch them back to back, so I watched both of them when I had enough time to watch them. And like, it went from laughing at Rich's commentary to like almost feeling a sense of, it sounds really silly, but a sense of pride for a team that I've watched 100%. From afar. And Trev will testify, I've tried between about 10 to 15 times to get to Meadowbank this season. And every time, I'm not even joking, every time something comes up that means I can't go. So I'm hoping to come down on Saturday for
Guys, we hold it in our heart because Trev and it was our final game before COVID lockdown, wasn't it? We went to see in the Surrey Cup.
Yeah,
I wasn't there.
Against Hungerford in the FA Trophy.
We played well that night, to be fair.
Yeah, he did.
Really impressed we were that night. What do you think it's done for Dorking's supporter base and maybe even the wide world of non-league, Mark? Because, you know, you can admit yourself, you're a character and you're probably a Marmite figure to some people, but I absolutely love watching you on there. And I think it's what has attracted so many people to non-league football. Do you agree with that? Do you think you letting Rich and a bunch of amateurs document yourselves has like brought a new love for non-league?
But yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm just brave with it, really. Like, I just think, well, you know, I know every manager's out there saying and doing all sorts of things, and I'm just prepared to show people what I do, and if they like it, they do. They don't. And if they watch it long enough, then they get it. Do you know what I mean? 100%. And I understand it's come from a good place. But I think what it's done is the feedback we get is phenomenal. I can't even tell you. Like, I mean, you know, I'm in the Isle of Wight in the middle of nowhere, and everywhere I go, people stop me and talk about it, and especially little kids off of TikTok. Like, I mean, I don't know what age group TikTok is. It must be really young, but...
Well, I heard Trev was doing some dance moves on there recently, weren't you, Trev?
No, Gaz is a TikTok, man.
No, it's madness, right? But, like, I think we get so many people that say this has really socially grabbed them because it's just given them access to have a bit of a belonging. You know, Premier League football don't do that. That's why we all do what we do.
Yeah.
There was you don't even get near the tea lady, let alone the players. And, you know, so it's just kind of false dawn, really. I think the access to people even watching it, people really resonate with it, and they sort of grow an affiliation with it. And hopefully those people don't just follow us. We get a lot of people come from all over now. Our crowds doubled last season, doubled. I mean, literally doubled. I mean, Worthing, you know, got a historic, great fan base. We've come from nothing. Yeah. And hopefully those people get to their own local non-league clubs. That's what I think. You know, hopefully those people go, do you know what? I love watching that team. I'm going to go to my team in Leicester or Peterborough, whatever.
Yeah.
Get behind them. But it's, we, you know, we'll, it'd be interesting to see how it's taken at Notts County. And
I bet you can't wait to see you leading Dorking out of that grounds, mate. I mean, when you fought all those years ago, when you were setting up a park team and you think you're leading them out of former EFL grounds, you must almost like when you're there, you're going to pinch yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm always just thinking, see, I keep the thing at the moment, you would have seen it online, is people going, you know, if you don't, next season you're going to end up at Dorking, you know, like we've become this kind of sarcastic phrase.
Yeah, you're playing Dorking.
And like my thing to them clubs is that, mate, it's not that we're small, it's that you used to be big.
Yeah, right? There you go. You know, like, what an attitude to have. What great, you know, attitude.
Let's make no mistake. We're going to try and turn everybody over, like everybody. And if we don't do it initially, we'll work out a way, hopefully, how to do it.
But that attitude came across in Southend this season, didn't it? Where they weren't allowed to film anywhere.
Like, that was pathetic, that was.
Yeah. It was, I mean...
You registered Rich as a player, didn't you?
They had to register him as a player because it's the FA Trophy, seven subs. And everybody was injured at that point again. So I thought, well, I might as well just put him on the bench then. And then I'm actually having a massive argument with some guy who said, well, he's, you know, well, we've told him he can't be here. I said, but he's on the bench. He said, well, he can't. I said, well, I said, if you're telling me that one of the subs is not allowed to be here, then that's fine. Just put it in writing. Yeah. And you know, we'll go from there. But it's like, I don't know what these people got to hide. I don't get it, really. It's just old school mindsets.
Yeah.
You know, like, it benefits everybody to showcase what you do. The volunteers. Richard likes to interview the volunteers at opposing grounds, get their stories, their journeys. Benefits everybody, really. The officials love it. The officials love it. Like...
Well, because, even when they got you in their ear as well.
Yeah. But I love it. I love it when he goes up to the third official, going, fourth official, goes, I ain't going to give you any grief this game. And then 2 minutes later, you're screaming at him. It's brilliant.
But the officials like it because it actually gives them an opportunity to show people what they do, how they deal with it. And we always try to get balance with that where applicable to make sure. And we got a good relationship there. So, yeah, no, to be fair, it's just doing loads of good for the game. And, you know, we just hope that no one prevents us. Well, they can't prevent too much. They might prevent access in changing rooms away from home. But then I'll just wear a fucking Miners helmet or something. And that's what
Mark,
we'll do.
Mark, do you have any regrets of doing a bunch of amateurs? Is there any regrets at all?
Not really, no. Not really. I just feel like it's... Dorking Wanderers has... You know, I'm not this mega rich man people say I am. I graft non-stop, right? And we've had to work out a way of becoming remotely sustainable through growing attendances, generating, monetizing the local business community, and all of this has helped us do that, further that, and that's, I've got to put my neck on the line for the club. The club couldn't compete where it is now if we weren't doing things like bunch of amateurs. It's a key facet to our profile, and it's really helped us grow. So definitely no regrets. And sometimes I think, would I regret it? Because we even tell the team our tactics. I mean...
Yeah.
Half the time, I can just see there and watch what we're telling them to do. So I always have a wind up saying to people, you know, we didn't just beat you, but we told you in advance what we're going to do as well.
Yeah.
I think with that, Mark, what you said as well, though, is that having followed you through like the county leagues as well, when you're in Sussex as well, no silly money's been thrown at it. You, like you say, grown sustainably all the way through. And when you see some of the clubs that, you know, throw thousands, millions at budgets and everything, it's refreshing to see somebody come from where they were down on the park football, and they've built it gradually and steadily, and every bit, it's almost like a building a massive great tower. Every bit's been built from the bottom up rather than starting from the top.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. I appreciate that. I mean, at any given point, there's boys in our team that have been there four, five, six, 7 years at any given point. That's the real success behind it. It's retaining the continuity of the players and then just only adding sparingly. And of course, the default position of that is that your budget's probably always lower than it would be if you was to go into a new league. I mean, we've gone to that National League and every single agent wants to message you players and it's stupid money, ridiculous money. Mm. So no, we operated last year with a top eight budget, definitely, I'd say, in that division. This year, it'll definitely be bottom five because I don't mind anyone knowing. We've got, I looked at it today, we've got 450 grand. The average budget in that league, as per the AGM notes, is 1.2 million. Average.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we are 100% in the bottom four, probably, of that league. But we do things our way. Sutton United, incidentally, won it probably on about 600. So it's not like, but that, I mean, it's not often I talk money, but the problem is because we're all football nuts and we are also local, so we get the journey. But to other people, they just think, blimey, success, rapid success, money. That's, they can't get over that.
Yeah.
You know?
But I just think you need to look at Leicester winning the Premier League, for example, mate. It doesn't matter how much money you got. You know, it's about the team and the morale. And for what I see from a bunch of amateurs, I know you'll get some new faces in the club over this coming season. If you keep the morale like it is and the team that they are, you know, you could be smashing that league.
I appreciate it, James. I mean, I think it's going to be bloody hard, but really, really hard. But what I would say, we will work it out. We always do. Mm. I've got one hell of a management team. Mark Beard is he's the only full-time person on the playing side. He's full-time coach now, chips in with the academy as well. I've got about there's a coaching team of about five. There's a scouting team of about four or five. We've got analysis people, all volunteers.
Yeah.
We've got a very clever structure to what we do. So we're always looking for kind of marginal gains, really.
And I think one of the things I like is when Mark does bring you back in a little bit, because one of my favourite sayings of you on Bunch of Amateurs is next goal. And there was, I think it was in the last or the penultimate episode series, he's like, no, we don't want the next goal. We don't want the next goal. And I just think you screaming out, it just makes me laugh so much. It's brilliant. What, that determination and willpower.
I see someone the other day, someone commented saying, oh, you know, he looks like he's tactical, blah, blah, blah. But then he goes into the pub mode and shouting next goal. Do you know why I do that? Now, I've been doing this a long time. I do that right after we've scored because I like to dig the knife in the opposition. Yeah. I like the opposition manager to think and the opposition team to get on a back foot and that little 5 minute spell, just clever little things over the years, you know.
And it's occasionally when you get you see the glance on the camera from the other manager, just looking at what the hell is this bloke on about, and it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant, mate. So don't stop doing that next season. Can we get a ringtone made or something? Do they still do ringtones? Mark just screaming next goal. It could be an exclusive Premier Non-League podcast ringtone or text message. Actually, Trev, you've got his number. Why don't you get him recording that? And then anytime he texts him, you go, next goal coming to your mobile.
Or relax. That's the other one.
Relax.
But said in the most bloody stress way.
Have you ever thought about going into merchandise, mate? We could maybe have a partnership here, Mark White and the PNLP. You know, what do you think about that?
Honestly.
So let's just, before we wrap it up with you, mate, you've taken plenty of your time. We really appreciate it. Let's just go back to 21st of May, 2022, the culmination of, as you say, 20 years of hard work. What was that? I mean, as you said at the end, and you know, I've experienced it from professional football, from being a Charlton fan, winning in the last minute, you know, taking that equaliser, a playoff final, the best way to get promotion, if you know you're going to win, is a playoff. But I mean, I'm sure if you were wearing a heart rate monitor, your results would have been something through the roof, and God knows how they didn't have to get the defib out, because it was the same for me at Wembley when I supported Charlton all those years about getting promoted. The 99th minute when Luke Moore scored to take that to extra time, and I think Gaz said, it was like a proud moment for me. Like, you know, I like Dorking from a local point of view. I've been to you before. You know, I like to follow your results, and I've become a bigger fan by watching a bunch of amateurs. But I almost had a little lump in my throat when I saw how much that meant for you, and you charging down that touchline, nearly knocking Rich out of the way, and, you know, all the players and everything like that. What was that feeling? Because you must have thought when Ebbsfleet scored, you're like, did you genuinely think it was over, or did you think, we're going to get something here? Like, I mean, positivity mark-wise would have said, yeah, we'll get something. But did you generally think, this is it, guys, over?
Yeah, I think conceptually, I'm in business mode, doing everything I think we can possibly do at that point to try and salvage it. You know, the keeper's gone up for four corners and the centre-half's gone up. But I think in the back of my mind, it's a lost cause, but it's not kind of a conscious thought. So I think, yeah, I don't think I could kid anybody on that I truly believe was going to equalise. I think it was the most incredible moment. I've never seen so many grown people in a ground celebrating with people they didn't know. At the end of the game, kids crying, et cetera, et cetera. But the equaliser, I mean, I asked the ref how long to go and he said 5 seconds. 5 seconds.
Crazy, isn't it?
And then Fuller whacks that ball, that floats that ball into the edge of the box.
Left footed.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was just literally, it is literally, you can make a movie. I mean, we know you've got a TV or a YouTube series about it. You could literally, that's what you'd see in a movie. To see that and the pure overwhelming emotion coming out of you lot. I mean, it must be amazing. When that goal went in, obviously you're ecstatic. You must have thought, next goal, next goal, next goal. I know you screamed it anyway, but... did you know that's your moment? Is that the game's yours then? Because surely the momentum has swung in your favour then.
Yeah, I never celebrate goals, by the way. Like, I've been.
No, I know, I've noticed that.
I was just going to say that when that third goal went in, your bench erupted, and that was probably the most calmest person in the entire ground was you.
Were you a little bit like a swan there, like really under the feet, like under going?
Do you know what? Dozen. I just think, like, I think my I'm quite good at getting into that kind of business mindset on the bench. Like, I think that's just the experience. I think whether you've managed at County League or Division 4, you know, I remember making a 1-0 down to Hastings in the Isthmian League playoff semi-final, 15 minutes to go, made a triple sub, changed the shape, nicked an equaliser, won on penalties. And I just think over the years, you just learn what to do, when to do it, to remain calm. And I would say I'm pretty good at that, to be fair. And I lost it when we equalised, and I don't often lose it. But that's because, as you rightfully said, the back of my mind, we're done, right? But the minute we equalised, when we scored the third goal, I was back to normal, just no smiles, no nothing. And the minute we scored that equaliser, there was no question. Even though it was like Royal Rovers, everybody was injured. Jace had come off, McShane was... We had to leave three on that were struggling. Alfie couldn't move. But I just knew at that point the Wanderers' gods were out. I just thought, listen, this is ours. You know the score. You don't equalise with 5 seconds to go and not win the game.
No.
It was a phenomenal feeling. And what I loved about it was I was so emotional at the end, and it's rare for me. I put my sunglasses on and I walked straight off the pitch. I couldn't even talk.
Welled up.
Yeah, I couldn't even talk. So there's people all over the place. I just walked off the pitch. And what I thought about it was, like, the kids, that memory, that is, you know, that is going to be their football memory for literally their lifetime for these kids. It was never forget it. You know, to be there in that situation. And I just thought, you know what? That is ultimately why we all do football. It's for the highs, the lows. And if you're fortunate enough to get a high like that, it makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah. Wednesday, 9 a.m, when the fixtures come out, obviously you'll know beforehand anyway because the blister will come through. And I've seen a draft of what is supposed to come out. Who do you want on Wednesday?
Well, I wanted Oldham, right?
Yeah,
I wanted Oldham because I think, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure when we was formed, they was in the Premier League.
Mental.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah,
been,
that would have been. Yeah, you're right, mate. You are right.
Right. So you'd imagine if they've done their homework. Yeah, if they've done their homework and they want a good, you know, concept for their first TV game.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way sometimes.
Well, you could be drinking aviation gin with Hollywood royalty, couldn't you? In Wrexham.
I know. It's going to be crazy.
That would be weird. I mean, think of that. I mean, I think we've spoken plenty of times about Wrexham on this podcast, like whether we think it's right or wrong, you know, with Ryan Reynolds and McElney. But how weird would that be? You're literally going into a ground where you're going to possibly have two Hollywood superstars there, and you're like, this is just surreal.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, isn't it? It's a difficult one for me. You know, if people come into your club with really good intentions and deliver, then for me personally, as long as the club's in good hands, where can it go wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they've got to be judged on what they're doing. They just bought the ground and they're delivering on promises and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's going to be insane. We played at Notts County in a friendly in that year you mentioned earlier when we was in the playoffs first year round.
Yeah.
And that was it was like down at Wembley for the day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Unbelievable.
Well, I think it's one of those clubs that you think if they're still there, if say Wrexham's still in the National League in 5 years' time and they're still there, you can go fair play to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think I think they've got the resources to do what they want to do, but the fans are relentless, aren't they, in clubs? The fans are relentless. Like, this is the division that is tough to get out of, you know, really tough. And there'll be a lot more pressure on other teams than there will be Dorking Wanderers who are going to try and consolidate.
I can't wait to see it. Mark, if you could pick one highlight apart from the winning the promotion through the playoffs of the last season, I know it's probably millions, but if you could pick one highlight, just tell us.
I think the Boxing Day 8-0, we beat Havant 8-0. And
relentless.
It was, we had four of our players, ex Havant, and it was just one of them great days, a bit misty, a bit murky that day it was, and just one of them great days, really. And that was when our season sort of kicked on a bit, you know. And I used to say when we're 12th or 13th in the league, we were, and went to Oxford City, they were top, and we beat them 4-2 comfortably. And I used to say to people like the management team, don't worry, I said, you can't write us off. And I said, best of all, nobody else ever does. Because they know that we are a bit of a juggernaut in terms of working out how to get there. And long may that continue. But I've got to say, there's a huge amount of people around me that I take the plaudits for. And, I thank all of them, really, because they give me a bit of a steering job, if I'm honest, with the club.
So, Mark, just a last point before we wrap this up. Next season, new league, and we're really excited, as I'm sure you can tell, to see and follow. And I'm sure Rich will be back with his cameras following the season with you. What is your plan for next season? Apart from what was the famous last line you said on last season, Bunch Amateurs? We don't mind swearing if you want to say it right now, because I think
I said, look, we're trying to finish fifth bottom, but you know, maybe we'll just try and win the fucking thing.
There we go. I love it.
Yeah, but I just think like there's no boundaries, really. Do you know what I mean? They're only the ones you set yourself. I mean, obviously, you can't just be optimistic and think you're going to win everything, but we have got a great setup. We're going to try and work out, James, like, you know, where our sort of, not weaknesses, but where the areas are we need to improve. We'll do it all at our own speed. We'll look at where the marginal gains are that we're losing by not being full-time. And we'll go from there. But I'd love to be maybe the first team to get promoted to League Two as part-time. Can't think of anybody else.
No.
But I quite like that record next.
That would be pretty impressive, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark White for England. I want the England job. That's the only job I'd take.
I'd have you as the England manager, mate. I think you'd be brilliant. I mean, imagine Rich in Qatar next, Qatar 2022 following you down as the England gaffer.
Well, my first hour would be talking about what's not allowed. Earrings, bandanas, gloves, you know.
Instagram.
Yeah, it'd be like a German prisoner of war camp.
And then I think we've just Mark has just sent his signal out, like he's coming for you, Gareth. He's coming for you.
Football's coming home. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe you're the man to bring it home. Gareth's got so close, mate. He don't do anything in Qatar. You know, the next where's the next Euros? I don't even know where it is after that. I've lost track. Somewhere. But it could bring it home somewhere. But Mark White, thank you so much for spending the past hour with us on the first of the Premier Non-League Podcast Summer Specials. Can we get you back at Christmas? We have a catch-up then or something like that?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Well, we'll be down to Meadowbank whenever we can, mate. Come down, we'll have a beer with you after the game. It'd be really good to like have a catch-up in person, mate.
Drop me a message and I'll sort out your tickets, lads. I appreciate that.
Very kind. It's great to see
you know what I mean, you boys doing good work for non-league football. Really good to see.
And that means a lot coming from someone like you, Mark. So thank you very much. And we look forward to seeing what Dorking do. Got three fans in this room right now, plus the other guys of the Premier Non-League podcast. So good luck for the season. Can't wait to catch up with you sometime in the near future, and enjoy pre-season, Mark.
Cheers, James.
Take care.
Are you PNLP?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.